Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be back here at Calvary Chapel Long Beach. And I have been here a number of times before. I've been a longtime friend of your former pastor, John. And it's just been a real blessing to team up with you. And thank you so much for supporting our work over the years. You guys have been a real blessing to us. It's neat to see the kids, some of the kids here this morning. You know, when I was your age, I thought missionaries were kind of strange because I grew up in this church that every year we would bring missionaries in, and they would come in and they would dress up in their costumes from their country that they were missionaries of. And I looked at them and I thought, you know, missionaries, they must be people that are misfits in America, and so they're sent out somewhere else. And so anyway, I was not real excited about being a missionary when I was young. And in fact, I remember at a conference I was at up in the San Bernardino Mountains, we just were wrapping up the week, and everybody was making a rededication of their lives and so forth. And I said, Lord, I'm going to rededicate my life. I'm going to commit it to you to serve you. And I want to do whatever you want me to do, but there's just two things I don't want to do. Number one, I don't want to be a missionary. And number two, I don't want to be a pastor. And so I made that deal with the Lord, but I said, I'll do whatever you want, but just those two things. So anyway, the Lord knows, doesn't he? He's got a plan for all of us. And so 1979, I started at Calvary Chapel of Banning. And I pastored there for a number of years, and then the Lord took us to the Philippines to become missionaries. And I served many years in the Philippines, and then the Lord brought us back and began going in other countries. But that's where I developed the inductive Bible study course, and it was during that time in the Philippines that we just saw God move in a powerful way, because the pastors there didn't know how to study the Word. They could preach their, you know, topical messages, and they usually had about 5 or 10 messages that they had down. And then they would just go to seminars and conferences like that, like what I was doing. They'd come to them, and they got their pencils and papers out there, and they're copying everything I'm preaching on, because they're going to go home and preach that, because it's another message for them. And so I realized that these guys didn't know how to study this book. And so the Lord put on my heart a course that would help these pastors get into the Word and learn how to study for themselves. And then they would teach this book chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's the most powerful way to teach the Bible. And if you do topicals, you jump all over the Bible, and the people in your church, I guarantee you, will never learn what this book is all about. And that's why you need the consistent teaching of the Word of God. So anyway, I did bring some of my materials. If you've never been through inductive Bible study, I have some out there. And there's a DVD and there's a manual that walk you through the whole course. And I guarantee you, it'll revolutionize you the way you look at this book. Because this book is the most powerful book in the world. And God has spoken. But the question is, what has He said? And you and I must be students of this Word. And we have to learn very young to study this book. And you guys, at a young age, you can learn to get into this book, and it will change your life. And so this morning, I just wanted to get you into the Word a little bit again, and I'm going to do a little inductive study with you. And but I do have to tell you just a little bit about our work. Since I started in 1985, the Lord took me into other countries, and I have now traveled into 55 countries taking inductive Bible study. And it's been exciting to see how God has just opened so many doors. And I'll be going back into a country I've been working in the last few years. That's Iraq. That's my next big trip. And I appreciate your prayers as we go there. The country's open right now, but they're talking about shutting it down again because of COVID. And that has been a major disappointment for me. But hopefully that's going to stay open. So you can be praying with us that the Lord will keep that door open for me to do a training there with a lot of young people that really want to learn this inductive Bible study course. So that's something that's really been going well for us. Also, I have been working in Africa. We have a very solid base there in Africa, in Tanzania, where we have actually four Bible schools going full time. These are for senior pastors who will come, and they will come five times for 10 days. And in those 10 days, we're teaching them about inductive Bible study. We're taking them through the entire Bible, giving them overviews of the old and the new. And these guys, they really get excited because they not only hear about inductive Bible study, but then they have to learn how to preach inductively through a text. And so by the time we get done with them, 50 days over the course of 3 years, these guys, they all tell us the same thing. We will never go back and preach the way we used to preach. And so we're giving them those tools to really teach the Word of God. And it's been thrilling. I was back there 2 years ago, and I was in about five of the churches of these pastors that are teaching now systematically through the Word. And you know what's happening in those churches? They are booming. Every single one of those churches that I visited, they're in a building program because they don't have enough room for everybody. And the Word of God is being taught. It's being preached. And so it's an exciting time. We have one other program we're doing in Africa. It's for new pastors and evangelists. And we're just taking them through the inductive Bible study course. And over a course of 1 year, they'll come three times for about 8 days each. And we get them into the Word and prepare them to go out and minister. As before, their pastors say, I think you've got a gift in teaching, so you go out and start a church, you know. And they have no preparation at all. So you can imagine what kind of work is going to go on in that church that they're planning. So God has given us some really good tools to work with. And keep praying for us as we minister there, because it's been so effective in what God is doing. And we're hoping to open another Bible school this year in Uganda and Liberia. And Lord willing, we're going to plant one in Jerusalem. So it's really exciting, some of the places that the Lord is opening up the door for us. Well, this morning, if you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, I'm going to go through a text, and I'm going to go through it systematically, inductively. We'll go through verse by verse, and as I go through it, I'm going to show you six principles of ministry. Now, how many of you are called to full-time Christian ministry? Would you raise your hand? Okay, I see one, two, a few hands. Some of you aren't quite sure. All right. Well, I've got good news and bad news for you this morning, okay? The good news is the minute you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, you are called to full-time Christian ministry. There's no such thing as part-time Christian ministry. We're all called to serve the Lord. Now, we're not all pastors like your pastors, and not all of you are teachers, but God has given you gifts of the Holy Spirit when Christ comes into your life, and you're to use those gifts in the body of Christ. And all of us are called to full-time Christian ministry. And every day, there's opportunities that the Lord is going to give us to minister if we will be open to using our gifts in the body of Christ. And so this morning, I want you to look at this text in the book of Acts, chapter 3, and we're going to look at these principles of ministry. Now, Peter and John went up to the temple together at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gates of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who are entering the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "To silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, so that he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who was begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them on the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power and godliness that we've made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask this morning now that you would speak to all of us, because, Lord, you've called us all. And so, Lord, we thank you for that ministry that you've called us to serve you. So, Lord, help us to understand these principles from the text and apply them to our lives this morning, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. By the way, the bad news, you don't have a choice. You're all called, full time. So how many of you are called full time, huh? All right, there you go. A few more full time servants here. Great. Well, we're told that in verse 1 that Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. It's the 3 o'clock hour in the afternoon, and they're coming to pray. And we know that prayer became a very important tool in the lives of Jesus' disciples. Now, they had spent a lot of time with Jesus, 3 years, and they had traveled all over, and they had noticed many times where Jesus would, after busy ministry, go off alone to pray. Early in the morning, he'd be up and he'd be praying. And the disciples realized that prayer was very important. And at one point they said, "Jesus, would you teach us to pray?" And we know that Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. But prayer is a powerful tool. And in the ministry, you and I must be, first of all, people of prayer. We must spend time daily praying and seeking what God wants to do through you and I in ministry for that day. And so Peter and John, they were going to pray, and they continued in that pattern that they saw in the life of Jesus. Well, we're told in verse 2 that a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried when he laid at the was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and he's asking for alms. So here we have a beggar. Now, you all know what a beggar is, right? You guys all know what a beggar is? Somebody's got their hand out, right? And they're all over the place, aren't they? And it's really hard to go anywhere today where you don't see beggars. And when I go to these third world countries, there's a lot of beggars out there. And these guys are begging for money. And so here's a man that every day he's brought to the temple gate, never gets to go in, but he's on the outside. And everybody's walking by. And if you think about it, somebody very important walked by just a little bit earlier. That was Jesus. He walked right by this man going into the temple. And many people walked by him, and Peter and John had walked by him many times. But this day, Something happened as they were about to go in. This man is begging for alms, and he asked Peter and John for money. And Peter did something very unusual. He said, well, look at us. Now, I want to tell you, firsthand experience, if I see a beggar, the last thing I want to do is look at him in the eyes. And I had a beggar in the Philippines that really, this guy was really good. And he would sneak up behind me, and he'd tap me on the shoulder. I'd turn around, and there he was with a big smile on his face, and he's got his hand out. And when I look in his eyes and I see that handout, you know, I'm going to go in my pocket and I'd pull out some pesos and I'd give him some pesos. And he thanked me and he just had the biggest smile on his face. He knew he had somebody when he came up behind me. And so this beggar, you know, you see him everywhere and he's begging, he's asking for alms. And Peter does something very unusual. He says, look at us. Now, I'm only going to do that if I'm going to give him something. And boy, was Peter going to give him something. But you know, Peter, I don't think he had a clue. He didn't wake up that morning and say, you know, we're going to go to the temple gates. You know that guy there? We're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for a miracle. I don't think Peter had any idea, except that the Holy Spirit was at work. Because remember, this is after Pentecost. A very short time after the Holy Spirit had come upon the early church and fallen upon them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit now. And you see Peter and John being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, I want you to stop. I want you to be flexible. And in the ministry, here's our second point, we must be flexible. As the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we've got to change direction and do what he wants to do. I began going into Russia in 1991, doing inductive Bible study seminars, and it was an amazing time. There was this spiritual hunger that I had never seen before. People would flock to our seminars. If we were out in the streets handing out tracts or giving out Bibles, we would literally get mobbed by people. Because they were so hungry spiritually. And so we were doing these seminars and just having a great time. And I just finished one seminar. We're on our way to the second seminar when we found out they had canceled the seminar. And I was really disgusted. I go, why? Why would you cancel it? You know, and we're praying, Lord, what's going on? We had already paid for a hotel room for us to have our conference in, and we had paid for about 150 rooms for the pastors to stay in, and they wouldn't refund our money. And I was really upset about this, and I'm talking to my staff, and I'm going, well, I don't know what God is doing here. And my director, he goes, Pastor Dan, I'll just go out and get some people. So he went out, and I have no idea where he went, but he came back, and he had 12 people with him. And of these 12 people, 8 of them were women, and 4 of them were men, and not one pastor. So now I'm going to do a seminar that I was supposed to do with about 150 to 200 pastors, and there's not one pastor in this seminar, and I am so bummed out. I just go, I don't want to do this. And I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit that I needed to do it. So anyway, reluctantly, I'm teaching. And the second day of the seminar, as I'm going through a study, one woman in the group began to weep out loud, really loud. So I said, let's take a break. And I went down and started talking to her. And she had come under great conviction as she was hearing the word being taught. And she wasn't a believer. And so I said, would you like to pray to receive Jesus? And I explained to her the gospel. And she said, I really would, but I can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? She says, well, God would never forgive me. I go, but God has come to forgive sinners. But she says, I'm a terrible sinner because I'm living with a man that I'm not married to. And he's married to another woman. And God would never forgive me for that. And that day I told her the good news that Jesus came to forgive sinners, just like her. And she prayed that sinner's prayer with me, and I wish you could have seen her face. It just glowed because she lost 200 pounds of guilt. It just came off her shoulders, and she was forgiven. Well, you know, that was really a good thing, you know, and I was happy about that, but I was still bummed out about the seminar. And so the next day again, I'm teaching again, and another woman begins to cry. Right in the middle of the session, I thought, good grief, all I can do is make women cry. And so I took a break, and I went down and talked to her, and she wasn't born again either. And I shared the gospel with her, and I prayed with her, and she received Christ. And you know, that was really neat. And I'll never forget, as I was leading her in that prayer, I heard a little voice. And I knew it was God speaking to me. And he said, I am God, and I will do what I desire to do, even if it's not cost effective to you. And you see, God had a plan. He had a purpose, and I didn't like it. I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do, but God had another plan. And he wanted me to be flexible and willing to change, but I was reluctant to do so. You know, about a year later, I was back in Russia again doing a seminar very near this place where I had done this one. And this lady comes up to me, and she said, Pastor, I'm the one that you prayed for, the second lady. And she said, since you led me to Christ, I went back home and I've led my mother and my brother and 10 of my best friends have all come to Christ. And you see, folks, are you flexible? Are you willing to change direction when the Holy Spirit prompts you? So important. Well, we're told in verse 3, verse 5. So Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Can you see this beggar? He has got to be excited. Peter said, look at us. And so he's got their full attention, and he's expecting to receive something from them, but he's not going to get what he expects. He's going to get a lot more. And Peter says these famous words, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So this beggar, he was expecting to receive something. And there's our third principle I want you to see here. You and I need to live expectantly. Do you wake up in the morning and go, Lord, this is your day. Do what you desire to do through me. I want to make myself available. Do you live in the sense of expectancy that God wants to do something? So important that we're awake and alert, and he wants to use us as that Holy Spirit will prompt us to do. And so this man, we're told, Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Now, I want you to notice what happens next. Because Peter doesn't go like this. Boy, I sure hope this guy gets up. Come on, buddy, get up. But the text says, it says, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Peter reached down and pulled up a man that has never walked before. Do you know what his legs would look like? He would have no muscle at all in his legs. You guys know what it's like to jump up and down, right? But he had no muscle, but this miracle was so great, immediately he received strength in his legs, so that it says that he leaped up and he stood walking And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And so would you. Every one of us has to learn how to walk. You know, you're first crawling, then you pull yourself up on a chair, then you'll take a step and bang. And usually you'll cry, but then you get back up again and you keep going and you'll learn to walk. Here's a man that never learned to walk. Immediately he was healed so that he could not only walk, but he was leaping. Think about that. He's jumping up and down. And he's praising God. And I want you to notice where he went from there. It says he went into the temple. Do you realize he's never been in there? You know why? Because he was an outsider. Because he was handicapped. He could not go into the temple because of his condition. But that day, because of that miracle, Peter and John pulling this man up, he was set free to enter into the Holy of Holies. And folks, that's what salvation does. When we invite Christ to come into our lives, he frees us to enter in and worship him in his holiness. And so when Peter reached down and he grabbed a hold of that man, do you see what he did? He was operating with boldness. Boy, that's bold. And that's what we need in the ministry. There's number four. We need boldness. Now, there's a lot of times that we sense that God wants to use us, but we're afraid. Fear will cripple you and I. I'll never forget one day I had to drive up north, and I was going to speak at a conference, and so I'm driving up, and as I'm driving along, there's this guy standing out in the road with his thumb like this. And you all know what that means, right? You know what that means, guys? I mean, they want to ride. And that I used to do that too when I was in high school. I'd thumb my thumb out there and get a ride to school, you know? And so here's this guy, and the closer I got to him, you know, he had a big beard and long hair, and he had this leather jacket on and had these chains all over it. And I thought to myself, this guy, there is no way I'm picking him up because he looks dangerous. And so as I got really close, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, stop, pick him up. And as I got closer and closer, the knuckles on my hand turned white. And you know, I just knew this guy was dangerous. And my heart started beating. And I thought, if I pick him up, he's going to kill me. And you know, I had all these things going through my mind. And so instead of stopping, I just kept right on going. And for 1 mile, I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say to me, you disobeyed me. And so finally, after about a mile, I pulled over. And I turned around and started driving back down that road. And all the way I was going, please, somebody pick that guy up. And I get down there, and sure enough, there he is, still standing in the road with his thumb out. And so I pulled up next to him, and he got into my car. And you know what? He smelled really bad. And then after just a little bit, he pulled out some marijuana and he started smoking it right in my car. And I thought, great, he's going to get high and he's going to kill me. You know, I was really afraid now as I'm driving my car. And as I'm driving and this fear is gripping me, the Holy Spirit says, speak to him about me. And so I did. I began to share the gospel with this man. And I found the longer we talked, because we were going for the next 3 hours, and the longer we talked, you know, he was really interested. And I kept sharing more with him. And finally, at one point, I said, would you like to pray to receive Jesus into your life? And he goes, yes, I would. And right there, as we're driving up the coast, I led this man in the sinner's prayer, and he became born again, right in my car. And about half hour later, a little bit later, you know, I pulled over and let him out of my car and never saw him again. I have no idea who this guy is. Could have been Pastor John. I don't know. But but God had a divine appointment that day, didn't he? And he wanted to use me. He wanted me to be flexible. He wanted me to be bold. Don't be afraid. And many times we will not obey the Holy Spirit because it's just too scary. Well, we're told in verse 9 that all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who begged alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So everybody recognized this man. They've all walked by him. They knew that there was a miracle that happened. There was no evidence that this somehow was a fraud. This was the real deal. In verse 11, it says, now the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. And all the people ran together to them on the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we've made this man walk? So the text says, when Peter saw it, what did Peter see? Well, he saw the crowd running together and they're all pointing at him. Yeah, they're the ones. They're the ones that prayed over this man and they're the ones that did this miracle. And do you see what Peter did? He reflected the glory. Because you see, this is our next principle. We're not to seek our own glory when God uses us. It would be very easy for Peter and John to say, yeah, praise God, yes. Yes, we're the ones. We did that miracle and God used us. Hallelujah. But yeah, hallelujah. You see what I'm doing? I'm taking the glory. And Peter recognized that he can never take the glory when God uses him. And folks, don't make that mistake of trying to take the glory of what God is going to do through your life and my life. He wants to work with us all, but we can't take that glory. And so first of all, we've seen that the disciples, they were men of prayer. Secondly, we saw that they had to be flexible in the ministry. Thirdly, they're going to live expectantly. Fourthly, they're going to be bold. And fifthly, they're not going to seek their own glory from how God uses them. And then notice what happens. Peter now preaches a powerful message to this crowd. And he explains who's behind the miracle. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, he has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter is very clear. It's not us. It's Jesus. And then Peter goes on and he preaches this powerful message to this crowd. And they're extremely responsive to the message. I won't take time to read all the text, but I want you to jump down to verse 4 of chapter 4 there and notice what it says. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Boy, is that a good day. 5,000 men repented of their sins as they heard the gospel being preached. And here's our last principle. Obedience in the little things can lead to much greater things. Do you hear that? Obedience in the little things can lead to even greater ministry. And God wants to use us, but we've got to be obedient. We've got to obey Him in the little things. You know, I thought about this. What would have happened if Peter and John, on their way to the temple, they felt the promptings of the Holy Spirit, but they were running late? You guys never have that problem, right? They're running late and they're going, oh man, we got to get there, you know. And so you rush and you just rush right on by that guy. You know what would have happened if they had done that? This one man would not have been healed. But think about it now. 5,000 people would not have been saved. Do you see how important it is to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit? It's critical that we obey. There's a very famous general in the Philippine Army. And when we lived there, he was kind of the right-hand man to the president. It was a woman at that time. Cory Aquino was president. And this general was sent by Cory Aquino to speak to different groups. And there was a group of pastors, about 400, who were meeting in Manila. And I wasn't at this meeting, but a pastor friend of mine was. And he shared with me how he was at this meeting and this general got up and spoke to the pastors for a few minutes and shared some things that the president wanted to pass on to these pastors, all these pastors. And so anyway, he said, as this general was speaking, he said, I knew he wasn't born again. And he said, I felt a very strong prompting to go and speak to this general. But he said, I had every argument that you could imagine come into my brain as he was talking and I was hearing this little prompting of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I heard these voices like, who do you think you are? This guy's famous. He wouldn't even listen to you. He won't give you an audience. And, you know, he said, I kept hearing these things, but it was so strong. He said, after the meeting, I went up and I introduced myself to him. And he said, I started talking with him. And he said, the more I got a chance to talk to him, I started sharing the gospel with this general. And after a little bit of sharing with him, he said, General, would you like to pray to receive Jesus? And the general said, yes. And he led him in the sinner's prayer. And this general became born again that day. And my pastor friend, he shared this whole story with me, and it was very touching, but just less than 2 weeks later, this general was up in the mountains, and he was a very good negotiator when there was problems, and as he's negotiating in this situation up in the mountains there, it got real hostile. Guns came out, bullets were fired, and one of those bullets went right through the heart of the general, and he died instantly. Just about 5 or 6 days after he prayed to receive Christ into his life. And you think, what would have happened if my pastor friend had disobeyed the Holy Spirit? See how scary it is to disobey? God is calling us to be obedient, to serve Him, to do what He's calling us to do. And when you obey, so often it leads to so much more. And so, again, number one, God's called us to be people of prayer. Number two, we must be flexible. Number three, we must live expectantly. Number four, we must live with boldness. Number five, we're not to seek our own glory. And number six, obedience leads from the little things to even greater things. And so this morning, I want to ask you, are you willing to serve him? You see, he's called you full time to Christian ministry. He wants to use your life. He wants to use my life. But are you willing to obey him? You see, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. No retirement. We don't come to a certain point and just say, that's it, no more. Every single day, God wants to use us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you how you have given us the ability to serve you. You've given us the gifts. But many times, Lord, we are all guilty of not using them, allowing fear to creep in to keep us from doing what you want to do. And Lord, it's my prayer this morning that you would strengthen your church. Lord, that you would use this fellowship in a mighty way. Lord, that you would break through where the enemy wants to thwart and keep us from doing what you're calling us to do. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. You know each and every individual here. You know each one that has heard this message. And, Lord, you're calling them to serve you full time. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen this fellowship. Lord, that you would use your people for your honor and glory. So, Father, we give you praise this morning. We give you thanks. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.
All the time. You know, it's amazing how God works. The last few weeks especially, we've talked much about the call to the ministry and the fact that all of us are called to the ministry. And, you know, I didn't share with Pastor Dan just really where we've been going and what we've been talking about, but the message that God put on his heart lines right up with what God is doing in this place. And so I really do pray that you allow just the Holy Spirit to do that work in your heart and really pray and seek God's face, what God wants to accomplish in you, where he has you, what ministry he has called you to, how he's equipped you, and what role in this body he has for you as we seek his face to make a difference, not only within the walls of this church, but in the outside in the community that God has placed us, and the world that God has placed you, and the mission field that God has designated for you, in the sphere of influence that God has given you. So let's pray this out and really seek what it is that God has for us. You can sign up for different ministries or inquire about them. You can get on the website at ccnlb.com/connect. Here real soon, we're going to have what we're calling at the moment a ministry fair called Be the Church. We'll give you more information as that comes up, but be praying and seeking what God would want to accomplish in you. Well, thank you, Pastor Dan, for being here. Let's give him another round of applause. And as a reminder, we're going to close this time In worship, if there's any of you that need some prayer, we're available here to pray with you. For those of you that are watching online and you need some prayer, please connect with us on the website. We want to reach out to you and pray with you and engage you. God bless you. Have a great week.
And I pray, be you welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you.
Let's all stand together. We're here for you.
We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. And we are here for you.
To you our hearts.
Our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let us shout, be your anthem. Your renown fill the sky, 'cause we are here for you. And we are here for you. Let your word move in power, and let what's dead come to life, 'cause we are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down.
Let's see that again. You.
You, our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are the one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. And we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in
every heart.
Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We are here for you. We are here for you. We are here for you.
Let every heart.
Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. And we are here for you. We are here for you.
Amen. God bless you. Remember, we're here for the Lord. We'll see you here on small groups. God bless you guys.